All right, there we go.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. This is March the 23rd, March the 23rd. I'm looking at my computer clock here. And it is a marvelous day in Chicago. I'm broadcasting out of Illinois, Chicago. It's raining. It's gray. It's dull. It's the kind of day you would stay in a bed and just sleep. It's one of those gray and just days you just want to just, you know, sit back and relax. And I hope you are sitting back and relaxing and listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And it's great. It's fun. So today should be a lot of fun. My guest is Arthur Debbie. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name, Ripolo, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And she is an author. And that should be fun. That should be fun, as they all are authors. I'm an author myself. And we're going to be getting into that real soon. So let me get started and say welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I want to thank everybody for the positive feedback that they've given this show. The positive feedback that they've given my books, my stories, memoirs that I have posted, published on Amazon.com. Thank you for all of that. Thanks for everybody on Facebook. Of course, I'm on Facebook. Who's not on Facebook? And I'm also on LinkedIn, so you can always look me up anywhere. I'm on Google. I'm all over the place. I'm never hard to find, at least online, okay? I'm not hard to find online. So welcome to the show, and I guess we can get started. Wow. You know, this is just amazing. And I feel good. I really do feel good. Let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hey, George,
hello.
How are you doing? This is
Debbie. Hey, Debbie. Debbie, how are you doing? I was excited about this.
Oh, I've been looking forward to it all week. I'm doing great. I'm located here just south of Austin, Texas, and we are having unseasonably warm weather today.
We are too, but it's dull. It's raining. It's unseasonable. It's spring, but it's just awful. What can I say in Chicago?
It's been unseasonably rainy here as well. Last week we went to the coast for a little bit of a vacation, a little bit of business, and unfortunately got caught in a tropical storm. So
wow,
the weather's been a little
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, listeners to the George Wilder Jr. Show, Debbie Ripolo. Am I pronouncing that right, Ripolo?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great.
Excellent.
author, and your book you're going to be talking about today is, if I can find it on here, Amelia Flump and Her Peanut Butter Loving Imagination.
Right. Amelia Flump and Peanut Butter Loving. That's a long title. I know. I wanted to talk about that briefly. And I recently came out with a parenting humor book called The Toilet's Overflowing and the Dog is Wearing My Underwear.
Okay, can you give us a little bio on yourself?
Oh yeah, I grew up around the Waco, Texas area. Are you familiar with where Waco is?
I know it's in Texas.
It's just south. I keep forgetting. It's just south of Dallas, maybe about 2 hours. I grew up, it's the Blackland Prairie region of Texas, and the area I grew up in was very rural. I could ride my horse all day long and not see a single soul. I am a published author. I have several stories in Chicken Soup for the Soul series. I had numerous articles in different newspapers and magazines and other publications. And just whenever I thought I wasn't going to get any books published, a few years ago, I had my first book, Amelia Frumpen's Peanut Butter Loving Overactive Imagination, published by Dancing with Bear Publishing. You can find that on dancingwithbearpublishing.com. And about 2 years later, I had a cookbook, same title, but I added an even longer title to it. Amelia Frumpen, her peanut butter loving, overactive imagination is cooking up a peanut butter storm. That cookbook has all, that's a whole mouthful. I mean, what can I say? I like to think of big titles. And that won an award with the Purple Dragonfly Book Award. I have another children's book out, also by Dancing with Bear Publishing, called He's My Brother. And that one's very dear to me, George, because it's told in the perspective of a young man who has a sibling with autism. And those characters are based on my own children. I have a younger son who is on the autism spectrum. High functioning, and I based that story on both of my boys. And as you know, parenting is such an adventure.
Yeah, it is.
I decided,
it totally is.
Do you have children yourself?
Yeah, and I also, my son, he has autism. And when I saw that in your, and when I saw this in part of your introduction to wanting to be on the show, I said, wow, that is something. Maybe we can connect because, you know, yes, I do have, he's now 16 years old and it seems as he's grown, it has gotten worse.
Oh, really?
And but don't let this be a drag. I mean, this is a good time. You're on the show, so tell us about yourself. And I wanted to say something about the your titles. You make up your titles yourself, because your titles I can see why you won so many awards on this, because your titles are award winning themselves, just your titles.
Well, thank you. As you can tell, I'm a talker. I love to talk. So,
I mean, when
I appreciate it.
No problem. When I read the title, I barely thought I could read it, but your titles are amazing. And that's a title of a book, of any book, is going to catch the attention of the reader more so than the book cover itself.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, we're both authors, and that's something that's essential, is to get that reader's attention.
Yeah, exactly.
At the beginning, the hook to lure them in. But I did think of that, and the way I came up with the title for my parenting humor book is I found out the hard way one day that cell phones can't swim.
The hard way?
The hard way. My younger son took my cell phone without my knowledge and disappeared into the restroom a couple of years ago. And as you know, as a parent, silence is never a good thing in the house.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I tapped on the bathroom door, and he said, wait a minute. And I walked in there into the restroom, and I saw my toilet. I mean, I'm sorry, my cell phone at the bottom of the toilet.
Wow.
And, yeah, I can tell you in all honesty, and there have been some occasions in my house that the dog has paraded through the living room with company present, wearing my underwear.
Wow.
The boys, yeah. So I have a very adventurous life as a parent. And the reason I penned that book, George, you know, a lot of the times as authors, we base a lot of our stories on our own experiences.
Exactly.
And I understand that you've written memoirs as well. So we have even more in common. Through my life, I've found
out
that
a good... Debbie, I can tell you something else we have in common.
What's that?
Irma Bombeck.
Oh, you like her too.
Of course. There wasn't a library that I wouldn't walk into where I would see a bunch of Irma Bombeck's paperback books, and I would just sit there and devour them. They were funny. She's a satirist. Well, she's gone now, as we both know.
Yeah.
But I love to work. No problem.
Oh, I do too. I do too. And who else but Irma Bombeck can just leave you howling with laughter? And I'm the same as you, George. I would walk into the library, and the first section I would go to was the humor section, and I would look for Irma's books on the shelves. And I would pull it out and sit down, and I would get some of the strangest looks because she did such a great job of keeping the reader's attention with her humor and really reeling us into the story. But I would get so many strange looks because I would just burst out laughing for no reason, what people thought was no reason. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't she from Ohio as well?
I have no idea. Only thing I knew was her books, her readings, her writings. I believe she worked for a newspaper at one point.
Yeah.
And I'm not too familiar with her biography, but, you know, she was a good writer, you know, and she was funny and she kept your attention. Books was basically page turners. And, you know, so she's gone now. So, but we still have her writings, so.
Exactly. And for you and all of your listeners, there is a rare piece of work that she did publish. In my opinion, it applies to dads as well as mothers. It's called The Special Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, she refers to the mother, different mothers, what the names of their children will be, and what patron saint the child will have. And towards the end, God tells the angel, give her a special needs child. And
wow.
I don't want to give the whole thing away. I don't want to give the whole thing away, but to me, that little bit of prose also applies to the parents of the fathers of special needs children as well, but it's called The Special Mother, and it is written by Irma Bombeck.
Okay.
It's a rare piece of her writing that isn't entirely humorous.
Okay,
we will
look that up and check that out. You're also a cooking is your second passion.
Oh yeah, I spent a lot of time in my grandmother's kitchen growing up, and just sitting there and listening to. Yeah, you know, it's a lot of fun to sit there and listen to your grandparents.
It's always your grandma. I mean, that's where my mother learned to cook, and that's where I learned to cook. I'm also a cook. I've worked in many kitchens, believe me. And it's one of the greatest things I think anybody can do is work with food. You know, once you work with food, you always want to go back to it if you decide to stray away from it, you know. So, and it's beautiful, you know, working with food. So you are a baker?
I am a baker. I find that sometimes I take a break from writing and I bake as a way to relax, to think out my storylines. And you know, we're still creative. We're creative souls, and that's just another form of creating things. And I've won a few
awards
with my baking. And there's a couple of them in the Amelia Frump cookbook that I've won awards with that I'm very proud of. I also, on those recipes in the cookbook, I also use my family of course, I hate to say guinea pigs, but it's test subjects.
Yeah.
You know yourself, cooking is a science. And
it is a science.
And baking is, baking is a science itself. And unfortunately, sometimes that your experiments don't go the way you plan. But the good thing about it, you can always eat it, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us some more about your book.
Okay. Well, as I was saying earlier, the reason that I wrote the parenting humor book that I've learned through my life, that having a sense of humor is essential. That no matter how bad things at some point, you can always find something humorous in that situation.
Yeah.
And laughter is good for the soul. And being able to find a sense of humor in certain situations has gotten me through some tough times. Spoke briefly about my son having autism. And at one time, he was nonverbal. And we walked into a Target store one day, and he was just becoming verbal. And here, our Target's first thing in the morning is very, very vacant. So he blared something out at the top of his lungs, and it echoed off the walls, and it was an embarrassing situation. And the only thing that I could really do was laugh about.
Yes.
But there's several stories in my parenting book, Irma Bombeck-type stories in the parenting book that I hope that can help parents find that you can find humor in any situation.
Let me tell you how I discovered that my son had autism. I had never, ever heard the word autism before in my entire life. I was a single father then. I didn't know what the hell it was, didn't know what it meant. I heard it, you know, here and there, but I didn't pay any attention to it. But it wasn't about my son then. But the reason how I found out that he had autism, he was an infant. And I was taking him to the doctor one day to get him a checkup just to make sure he was okay. Annual checkup or something. And the doctor, she took him in a room, and she was examining him and, you know, checking him out, make sure he's okay. And then she came back out to me as I was sitting in the waiting room. She said, "Mr. Wilder, you have a special son." And I looked at her, I beamed. I said, "I know I have a special son." And I was grinning and laughing and everything. But she didn't mean it that way. She didn't mean it that way. And it took me some time to realize that. I started to realize that when he started preschool. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I was listening.
I started to realize that when he started preschool and the teachers were starting to ask me to take off work and sit in the classroom with him, and I was wondering why, you know. Some of the nurses would come up to me and say, "Wow, he's different, he's this, he's that." They were talking as if he was from Mars, you know, he was from another planet. He wasn't like the rest of the kids, you know. And I was getting angry, you know, because he was my son, and I treated him like any other kid. I didn't treat him any differently, and but I had to realize that they saw something in him that I didn't. I didn't see it until he started to get older, you know. So, and it was devastating. It was devastating because, as a father, as a parent, you want your kids to be normal, just like any other kids. And later on, I found out that they were telling me that he could not learn, no matter how much I tried to teach him. It was just not there. And in some cases, I think they were wrong, but he's different. And other kids at school, as he increased in grade, other kids at school would start to pick on him and bully him because of, you know.
Oh,
no. And it bothered me a lot. And I would walk up to his school sometimes and I would have to pull the bullies up off of him, you know. And your teachers will tell me that even some of the teachers at his school discriminated against him because of his disability.
And I think,
you know,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I think part of it, George, I think, you know, as much as we've learned about autism, I mean, the odds of a child getting autism are now 1 in 68. And as you know, several years ago, it was 1 in 150. And the chances of a child having autism are increasing and increasing. And there's still so much we don't know. And I think that's why some people behave the way they do. It's because they don't know. So as parents, I feel like it's our job to be an advocate.
Yes.
And to spread awareness. But, you know, I went through the similar journey that you did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always tell people, to me, autism was very sneaky. I didn't really notice a change in my child until he was 2.5 years old.
Okay.
And it's like he went to bed one night laughing and talking, saying his ABCs and 1, 2, 3. And then it was like the next day, I was like turning off a light switch.
Yes.
He started withdrawing from people. He started having meltdowns and not being able to communicate with mm-hmm. me, and we took him to a specialist, and he said, "Your child has autism."
Yes.
And just like you, I looked at her, I thought, no, you're wrong. My child doesn't have autism.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's such, it's hard to comprehend.
Yes,
and
it is.
She said, as a parent, you want to be, blew every hurt away, and autism is not something that you can fix, and that's hard to deal with.
I'll tell you something else. Yeah, I'll tell you something else. When I was told that he had autism, for some reason I was thinking he would grow out of it, but that's not the case.
No, it's a lifelong disability.
Yeah.
And there are things that you can. There are things that you can do to ensure that they have a happy and productive life. But autism, unfortunately, is a disorder that they'll never grow out of.
Yeah, I can equate myself with the withdrawing, the nonverbal. But my son can talk very good. He's very intelligent. He's very bright. Sometimes, you know, you want to know where his friends are and all that, this kind of thing. And you tell yourself that as you grow older, maybe your kid's going to take care of you, but you're going to have to keep taking care of them. And it's rough. It's rough.
It is. And it's great to have a good support group. For any parent who has a child with a disability. And one thing that I kept forgetting whenever my child was first diagnosed is I had an older son. And we talked about this briefly ourselves. Whenever your child is diagnosed with a disorder such as autism, you're scrambling to find resources. You're scrambling to find answers. And I hate
to admit
it. Of course,
you're scrambling to find support.
Exactly. And I had gotten so wrapped up in finding support for myself, finding resources for
yes.
Joseph, my husband and I, that we kind of put our older son on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I noticed that my vibrant, happy 12-year-old had gone from, like I said, being happy and outgoing to actually being somewhat sullen. And I sat down and I talked to him, and he said, well, here's what's going on, Mom. I don't know exactly what autism is. I don't like the way people look at Joseph whenever he flaps out in public.
Yes.
And I feel like you've forgotten about me. And he said, I've done some talking, and there are other siblings of a child with disabilities who feel the same way as I do. So, Mom, you're an author. Do you think you could write a book about this? So, as a result, I created a character by the name of Jonathan, and Jonathan is dealing with his brother's diagnosis of autism, and it tells how a little bit more about the autism diagnosis and how Jonathan eventually comes to realize that even though his brother may have autism, he's still his brother. He's still a person. He still has feelings and emotions. He just has different abilities. And like Temple Grandin has said, different but not less. And that's why I wrote He's My Brother.
Yeah, I have written extensively in some of my I've had short stories and stuff like that. But they're basically nonfiction. It's true how I've dealt with it and struggled with it, and the things that I, you know, try to do and fail to do. I've written about that, and I've published those things to let people know that I'm trying to do my best. It's hard. It's hard.
It is.
Debbie, can we move on? Debbie, can we move on? And you know, I'm getting a little teary eyed.
I'm sorry.
You're also a field editor for a magazine called Taste of Home?
Yes, I am. I'm a field editor for Taste mm-hmm. of Home, and what we do is we assist the readers in the online forums if they have any questions about cooking. We make suggestions for recipes, and we also
yeah.
post recipes to the website and submit recipes for the magazine.
Oh, wow, that's great. And you're a zookeeper of a cat, rabbits? This is interesting.
I actually, the rabbits were given away not too long ago, but I do
uh-huh.
have an Egyptian
uh-huh.
pharaoh hound and
wow.
A chiweenie, half dachshund, half weenie, and a dust mop with eyes that I affectionately call a half poodle and half Scotty. Those two are both
mm.
puppies, and I still have my cat.
Oh, wow.
And I've always had a really, really great sense of imagination. And a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
I had a cat named Sassy, and I've written a story
mm-hmm.
about her that I haven't published yet. But my cat could ride a bicycle.
Okay.
Yeah, I
wow.
taught the cat how to ride a bicycle. But also, you're also talking to a girl here who also took a horse into her mother's house whenever she was
oh,
younger.
Man. I'm gonna have to pick up some of your stuff because I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be laughing out loud.
Well, we're gonna have to exchange information and links because I'd love to read some of your stuff as well.
Of course, once this show is over, I'll send you a link to it. No problem. So you can, you know, if you have a website or I'm pretty sure you do a blog, you can always put this show that we're doing today up on your website and blog and have your fans come by and just, you know, hear you. And that should be all good. But one other thing, Debbie, do you have an excerpt of any one of your books that you would like to read?
Let me see. I do not have one pulled up
okay.
right at this moment. I have to admit, you caught me flat-footed
okay.
on that one, George.
I thought I sent some information saying that, but that's okay.
No, I never got that message. Lovely Gmail. I'm sure it ate it like a spam sandwich.
All right, tell people where they can find your work.
You can find my work at dancingwithbearpublishing.com. You can also find my books at dwbchildrensline.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it at Amazon. Or, if you feel adventurous, you can find some of my blogging over on my website. That's Debbie Ropolo, all one word. I'm going to spell the last name. R as in Robert, O as in Ocean, D as in Paul, C as in Paul, O as in Ocean, L as in Lincoln, O as in Ocean, .weebly.com. Or you can find me on Facebook under Debbie Ropolo, or at Twitter, at Debbie Ropolo.
I think we just became friends on Facebook.
I was going to tell you. Thank you for the friendship.
No problem. Debbie, that's is there awesome. Anything you would like to say? Is there anything you would like to say before we go off the air?
Well, there's one thing that my dad always told me, and it applies to anyone in any aspect of your life. My father always told me whenever I was a little girl, I always used to ask him, Daddy, would you love me if I became, and then insert any career that you want, because there were many that I wanted to do as a child. And he would look at me and say, sweet, sweet, I would be proud of you no matter what you did. But just remember, you can do anything that you want to. You can achieve anything as long as you try and you put your mind to it. And that's one thing that I want to leave your listeners. You can do anything that you want to, as long as you try and put your mind to it. And I have really enjoyed talking to you, George, and connecting with you.
All right. Thank you for being on the show. We'll be in touch. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Debbie Ropolo on the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was an interesting take on what she was saying about autism, and I hope you guys out there realize that and hope you've learned something. I've learned something. I will be right back. Stay with me. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right. You're back with me, your host of this wonderful talk show, the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, the author, Debbie Rapallo. I want to thank her for being on the show. She was wonderful. She was great. Hopefully she'll come back. All right, let's move right along. A lot of the Republicans are getting into the wrong thing with Barack Obama, saying that he shouldn't have been watching a baseball game in Cuba while terrorists were running wild in Brussels. It's not his fault. And a lot of people are criticizing me or jumping on me because they feel that I think or said or wrote that Obama has failed ISIS. And in some ways, that's an indictment of me saying that this is Obama's fault. No, it's not Obama's fault. Okay. It is not Obama's fault. And I get sick of people trying to read something into what I write and what I post that's not there. You know, people are going to be people. You can't please them, so I don't try to please anybody. But I don't like people putting words in my mouth or reading something into what I've written that's not there. Well, you got thousands and thousands and thousands of people out there viewing what you do on social media. Somebody's going to twist and turn it the wrong way. And I'm trying to tell people now, if you're listening, I hope you are, if you're archiving the show, stop taking what I write out of context, you know, but I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen because you got mean and nasty people out there who's going to take everything you say and write out of context for their own benefit. So I just wanted to get that out. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I'm based out of Chicago, and I'm in my studio, and it's wonderful. And it is wonderful. And I did not blame Obama I think it's stupid for anybody to do that. But you've got a lot of Republicans and conservatives like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and those folks on Fox, so-called news, who are ripping Obama apart. You know, ripping him apart for watching a baseball game in Cuba and not responding fast enough to the crisis. Some people are trying to equate this with George Bush reading My Pet Goat while the trade buildings in New York were falling to the ground after a terrorist attack. This is 9/11. So I don't want people reading stuff into things that I didn't write. Of course, I'm kind of disappointed that Obama did not end the coalition, the bombing campaign that went on in Syria and maybe Iraq, did not eradicate ISIS. And I kept hearing the word, we have ISIS contained. It's obvious after the Paris attacks and now the Brussels attacks, ISIS is not contained. And a lot of people are talking about do not let refugees, Muslims or refugees, into the country. And Donald Trump is doubling down on his getting rid of Muslims out of the country, not accepting refugees. These people are doubling down on that. In some cases, I may agree, because you never know when you have unvetted people coming into your country, you never know what's going to happen. And a lot of people are saying, well, every refugee that is accepted in the United States is vetted. I even heard Obama say that they're vetted. How do you 100% vetted someone? There's still, I mean, you can vetted somebody or people, but that doesn't mean that person that you vetted is not going to commit an attack. Obama is the president of the United States. His one of his jobs is to keep Americans safe. You know, keep Americans safe. There's nothing wrong with taking in poor people who are running from the wars of and terrorists of their own countries, but you want to make sure that we're not letting people in this country that's going to harm us. I've said 1,000 times, ISIS is already in the United States. They're just waiting for the right time to do their dirt, to pounce. They are waiting for the right time to pounce on us all. That's why I said in yesterday's show, we're going to have to be vigilant. We're going to have to watch where we're going. I mean, we don't want to walk out here, go across the street to the store and not come back. That is an all-time possibility that could happen. That could happen. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And it's a mess. The terrorism that's going on in this country is a mess. When we're going after ISIS, we've got to make sure that we are going after them to kill them dead, because that's what they're doing in countries around the world. ISIS wants to put fear into our hearts, and I think Obama is right. We cannot be fearful. We have to go about doing our everyday duties. But you got to look at it this way. Obama is the president. I think he should have done something. He's the president of the United States. He should have made a beeline for the telephone or something, you know, and then he could have went back and enjoyed his game. I understand not letting the terrorists scare us into not doing what we do in an everyday arena. Obama is the president. I think he should have done something. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing him. He has enough of that with the Republicans. They're trying to tear him apart, as they always do, as they always will. This is what they want. Anything, these guys are going to find anything negative that they can hook on to bash Obama. And the Republicans are awful. They are totally awful. They are awful, hated bigots. That's what they are. And we all know that the Republicans will blame Obama for walking across water if he could. Walking across water if he could. If he was Christ Almighty, they still find something to blame him for. Mitch McConnell, I can't stand that fool. 90 years old. Why don't he just... He looks like he's 90 anyway. He needs to retire. Only thing he can do is spew his hate for Obama. I admit I'm not a big Obama fan, but I don't like to see bullying from the Republicans, because that's all they do. Donald Trump is bashing the president. Ted Cruz is bashing the president. Ted Cruz wants to police to go around to Muslims' neighborhoods and patrol Muslims' neighborhoods. I'm going to have to say this. I do think Muslims are, some Muslims, not all, are bad, awful people. But there are some good Muslims out here. I don't think all Muslims should be put in the baskets, same baskets as the Muslim terrorist. But a lot of people are doing that. There's people on Facebook who are being terrorized, Muslims on Facebook who are being terrorized for no good reason. The only reason they're being terrorized is because they are what? Muslims. We shouldn't do that. But you can't tell that to Donald Trump. You can't tell that to Ted Cruz. And you can't tell that to those assholes on Fox News. And you can't tell that to right-wing conservative hate radio. You can't tell that to these guys and girls, because they just hate. They hate Obama. They can't stand him. If I said I hated Obama right now, I would probably get all kind of calls from people who also hate him. I don't hate Obama. Am I disappointed in some things? Yes. Could he have done some things better? Yes. But I don't hate him. I may disagree with him. I may see things a little differently than he does, but I don't hate him. And he's going to be out of office anyway. We should be focusing on the upcoming general election for President of the United States. That's what we should be focusing on. And we also should be focusing on getting rid of ISIS, getting rid of this terrorist group. The United States and its allies should not give up on bombing the hell out of ISIS. If you need ground troops, if there's a reason for it, put ground troops down in Syria, Iraq, wherever these rotens are. We have to get rid of ISIS. No, do not be afraid. No, do not live in fear, because they're right. ISIS want you to be scared. They want me to be scared. They want you to live in fear. Do not do that. Go on about your regular life. But the government itself, they have to get ISIS. They have to do what they have to do to take this terrorist group down, this network, because they're radicalizing people all over the world. This is why I say ISIS is already in the United States. There's no doubt about that. ISIS is already here. They're just waiting. And don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just got through telling you, do not be afraid, but I want you to be aware and be vigilant. Be aware, be vigilant. Be aware of your surroundings. Who's in back of you? Who's on the side of you? Who's walking up in front of you? Who put that duffel bag there? It might be a bomb. And you have to be vigilant. Do not be afraid, but be vigilant. Be very conscious of everything when you're walking out that door, especially if you're going to places like an airport or a train station or a mall or a crowded theater, anything. These guys are blowing themselves up, making sure, excuse me, they're blowing themselves up anywhere where there's hundreds and thousands of people. They want to take so many people with them. You know, so I don't have to tell you about the news. I mean, you're watching the news for yourself. You know what's going on, or you should. We just have to take these guys out. I'm pretty sure that a lot of the countries around the world are now uniting, forming coalitions to take out ISIS. And they should not relent. They should not give up. They should not say we've got them contained. What they should say is that we have killed them. They're gone. They're dead. ICE is good for cutting off heads, blowing things up. That's about it. And we got to be like that too. Obviously, the air campaign that the coalition had in Iraq and in Syria did not work. These guys are here. They came over here on planes, on our airplanes. They were caught. They were caught and seen in the airport, Brussels airport. Airports around the world are now on high alert, high security. And it should be. It should be. It should be. The same. I'm learning right now that the same people that have attacked a Paris are the same ones who blew up Brussels. I believe there was three explosions. Airport and the train station, metro. It's awful. It's awful. These terrorists go around and just killing people. It's not funny, ladies and gentlemen. It's sad. It is very sad. As I've just got through saying, we've got to take these guys out. We have to take them out, guys and girls, you know, and those who are radicalized. We got to catch them. We got to, you know, because you never know. You never know when it's going to be the United States that get bombed next time. I think Brussels were caught sleeping. The people of Brussels, they were caught sleeping. The people of the United States citizens, we were caught sleeping. We were caught. The reason why we were sleeping, because we thought the United States military and its coalition somehow had contained ISIS. Remember, we kept hearing about this. Oh, the leader of the jihadists died. The leader was killed in a bombing or whatever. We was hearing these things. And then we started to rest on our laurels. The next thing you know, Brussels, 31 people dead. Over 100 people hurt. Windows and doors and walls and ceilings blown apart. Wow, this is something. We've got to do something. We've got to do something about this. And then on top of that, we got two crazy presidential candidates. Two nutty, loony candidates. Neither one of them should be president of the United States. And I'm talking about Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. A lot of people are saying that they rather see Donald Trump president of the United States than Ted Cruz, because they feel that Ted Cruz is more dangerous than Donald Trump. And you know what? They got that right. Ted Cruz has been using more dangerous and stupid rhetoric than Donald Trump when it comes to damaging the United States reputation, damaging the United States in general, in every way, in every shape and form, especially the policies and the issues that is facing this country. I would rather see Donald Trump than Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz want to rip this damn place apart. You know, he can't be trusted. This guy is they're right. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's delusional. He's a sociopath. And he's not fit to be president of the United States. Neither is Donald Trump. But if I had the choice between them, it would be Donald Trump. But hopefully my money is still on Bernie Sanders. Once I find out that Bernie Sanders is fully out of the race, he can't run anymore because Hillary has racked up too many delegates, then reluctantly I will hold my nose and I will support Hillary Clinton. Okay? I really don't want to see Bill back in the White House, but I don't want to see a Republican in the White House. So I'm thinking that once Bernie is out of the race, and he may be out of the race real soon, or he may just go all the way to the convention. We'll just have to see what happens. But anyway, if Bernie should drop out early, that might not be likely, but if possible, we should all throw our support behind Hillary Clinton. Everybody who's supporting I had a brain warp right there. Everybody who's supporting Bernie Sanders should throw their weight and vote behind Hillary Clinton. Best, but she's all we got once Bernie Sanders is out of the picture. But don't let me talk too quickly, because Bernie Sanders could still miraculously come back. There are so many Bernie Sanders fans. I am a fan of Bernie. I'm not just a supporter of Bernie Sanders. I am a fan. You got to look at this guy. He's 74 years old, and he's been running around the country like he's 26. Okay. And I don't think the socialist label that Bernie puts on himself, I don't think that's the reason why he's, you know, seemed to be lagging behind. He's winning states, but he's not winning the states that he needs to win in order to rack up enough delegates to take this nomination. But you got to admire him, and I am a fan of his, and I do think he would be a better president than any one of these people who are running. But a lot of people don't understand him. They're giving this thing to Clinton. She can yell and scream and talk, you know, but I still don't trust her, sort of, because, you know, Bill Clinton is there, and, you know, But I'm not a Democrat, neither am I a Republican. So I have the right to to criticize whichever side I want to, because I'm not neither one of those people. And I do know that at one time Bernie Sanders was an independent because he was fed up with Democrats being gutless and weak. You know, that's a label that they've, some of the Republicans have put on Obama. And a lot of the Republicans are calling him a coward. And a lot of them are really in his butt right now because of what I just got through mentioning is his, you know, not responding so quickly to the Brussels attack and watching a baseball game. You know, I don't think he should have just abruptly got on his plane and came back to the United States. I do think he probably should have just went to the phone and just said whatever a president says or whatever he does when in time of a crisis like this. You know, so we'll just have to see what happens, folks. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, I want to thank the author, Debbie Rapolo, for being on my show. She was great. She was wonderful. And I hope you guys listened and go get her books and her work. That should be interesting. I'm gonna download a few things myself because I need to learn a little bit more about autism. If you know something about autism that you would like to share with me on this show, 347-857-1762, we can talk about it. All right, I will be right back, folks, if I can find. All right, I think I found it. I will be right back. Thanks for being with me. All right, we're back on the show. Sorry for the dead air. Let's see what we got here.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, we're back. We are back. Sorry for the dead air, folks. It happens sometimes. So it says right here, 400 ISIS fighters trained to strike Europe. They got to take these guys out. Oh, wow. It says 400... I'm looking at the Huffington Post, and it says, this is scary. This is scary, but we're not supposed to be scared, folks. So, and with orders to choose the time, place, and the method for maximum carnage. Turkey to Belgium, we warned you. One attacker was caught in June, later deported. Chase is on for key suspect. There's one guy who is on the loose, and there is a manhunt, folks, for this guy. Intrigue. Suspects wore black gloves, a black glove on left, on his left hand, triggering device. Two bombers were brothers. American siblings missing after attack. Names of victims trickled out. Obama slams Cruz for proposing surveillance of U.S. Muslims. Well, Cruz is crazy. He's a nut. Okay, so let's see if we can pull up the article here. It should be coming. It's Huffington Post, folks. What can I tell you? And his computer is very slow, as always. Okay, Obama slams Ted Cruz for proposing surveillance of Muslims. Cruz, I really don't like mentioning his name on the show because he's such an awful person. He's such an awful person. He's not even a citizen, so I guess that makes him one. I don't get that. The Constitution said an American-born citizen. He was not born here. He was born in Canada. Well, his mom, that is totally backwards. There are so many scholars and people of great stature saying the same thing, that this guy is not an American citizen. You know, there are a few suits slamming that, but that they were thrown out. Okay, President Barack Obama slammed Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, on Wednesday for the presidential hopeful statement that he would empower law enforcement to patrol and secure in the wake of the deadly terror attacks in Brussels. I'm quoting here. I just left a country that engages in that kind of neighborhood surveillance, which, by the way, the father of Ted Cruz escaped for America, the land of the free, Obama said during a press conference in Argentina, referring to his historic trip to. Okay, all right, with that one statement, Obama ripped him apart. He says, why do you want to do the same thing in America that your father escaped Cuba? Because it was doing the same thing. I'm going to read that quote again. This is President Obama. I just left a country that engages in this kind of neighborhood surveillance, which, by the way, the father of Ted Cruz escaped for America, the land of the free, unquote. Obama said during a press conference in Argentina, referring to his historic trip to Cuba earlier this week. He said the proposal makes absolutely no sense and goes against the basic American values. When has America had any values? If we had values, if Americans had values, we lost it a long time ago. We lost it during the Obama administration. I mean, look at the Republicans. I mean, look at the right wing hate radio, the GOP conservative hate radio. The Republican presidential candidate, a Cuban American, has been deeply critical of Obama's strategy to destroy the so-called Islamic State. He said Tuesday attacks in Brussels were more evidence that Obama needs to address the root of the problem. Ted Cruz was born in Canada. I bet he could not go to Canada and say and do some of the things that he's doing in America. America has too many weakened and frivolous laws, and let people like Ted Cruz, who wasn't born in the United States, come to the United States, run for president, and then ruin the country. You know. Okay, quoting. It is a way to pass time. President who will acknowledge this evil and will call it by its name and use the full force and fury to defeat ISIS. And he's right on that. We have to use every possibility to take these guys out. You know, we need a president who sets aside political correctness. We don't need another lecture about Cruz comments. That's Cruz. So, Cruz comments drew fire from Muslim advocacy groups. Cruz hates Muslims. Donald Trump hates Muslims. All Muslims. I can understand hating the terrorist. The terrorists are Muslims. Most of them are Muslims. But that you don't degrade or cruciate an entire race of people because of the actions of a few. Obama also criticized proposals to bomb ISIS positions in Syria and Iraq indiscriminately. Cruz has called for carpet bombing. That guy's crazy. Cruz, I verbally heard him say that he would carpet bomb a terrorist, a strategy that would endanger civilians. Okay? It would be, if Cruz did something like that, carpet bomb, there would be a lot of collateral damage. Quote, we don't go and blow something up just so we can say we blew something up. That's not a military strategy. I agree with Obama right there. That is not a military strategy. What he's saying is Cruz just want to go and blow something up just for the sake of blowing it up. You got Republicans here. What else can you expect? You have Republicans. What else can you expect from Republicans? Lunacy. Lunacy. That's why, folks, if Hillary gets the nomination, if she gets it, each and every one of Bernie Sanders' supporters should put their support behind Hillary Clinton. There's no doubt about that. And I think if that happens, we will take out Donald Trump, whether it's Ted Cruz, in a landslide. It will be a landslide. And just say if Hillary Clinton chose Elizabeth Warren to be her vice president, I mean, it's just phenomenal. It will be phenomenal. We can stop these jerk-offs from getting into the White House and destroying this country even more than what it already is. And what it already is. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. And I will be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio. Thank you.
Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Make sure you follow me on Facebook. Make sure you follow me on LinkedIn. Make sure you follow me. Where else am I? Google. And it's all good. And if you want to get a spot on the show, you know how to do that. Just email me, put something in my inbox, and let me know that you want to do the show. It's free. So. And I know people love things that are free. All right, let's move right along. Let's talk about Bruce Rauner. I want to get a few hits in on Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, before the show is over. You know, this guy is totally in denial about getting his butt whooped on March 15th, the Illinois primaries. As I've said before, the guy, he put $9.2 million. Or something like that, into three candidates to beat Democrats, to beat back Democrats, or to put in fake Democrats, and he lost. Every candidate that he backed with his money, with Republican money, lost. Bruce Rauner has been weakened. He's been weakened. However, he's going around the state denying it when the two major newspapers in this city are saying that he lost. He's saying he didn't lose. We all know he lost. Folks, we've got colleges and universities who are handing layoff notices to their faculty. We've got students. They don't even know if they're going to graduate or not. We got a public school that is drowning, that needs money and drowning in debt. This guy will not lift a finger to help any of them. I've said this a lot. I think a lot of us have said this. Bruce Rauner wants to see Illinois on his knees. He wants to see Illinois destroyed. And then once Illinois is totally destroyed by his hands, he's going to try and rebuild it with his own people. He wants it to go down in shreds so he can take it and rebuild it. He wants to control everything. But that's not going to happen because he's been weakened. He's been weakened. He tried to oust Michael Madigan with a fake Democrat. That didn't work. We got rid of Ken Duncan, a traitor to his own party, a traitor to his constituency. We got rid of him. There were other candidates that lost that Bruce Rauner betted a lot of money on, put a lot of money on. Now he's trying to say that this is nothing. And when we, of the people of Illinois, we know it's something because this vote went against him. If Bruce Rauner would have been running in the March 15th primaries, he would have lost his job. If Rahm Emanuel would have been running in the March 15th, he would have lost his job. Just so happens they weren't. But everything they touched or the people who they supported, they lost. My thinking is the reason why Rauner is denying that he lost or denying that the election had anything to do with, you know, a referendum on him and his policies and his agenda. I think he's trying to keep together his base because his base is saying, hey, Bruce Rauner, we put a lot of money in on this election and we lost. You lost big time. You tried to get rid of Michael Madigan. Michael Madigan threw it back in your face. He's trying to keep his base together. He's trying to keep his billionaire friends from defecting, from leaving him. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to put more confidence. He's trying to put confidence in the people who are probably wavering on whether they should support him or not, Republicans and Democrats. And that's another thing. Republicans and Democrats went against Bruce Rauner. And he's riding around the state denying it as if we're all fools. as if we all, and we're voters. We're the ones who voted. If you wanted, if you want to know if there was a real referendum on Bruce Rauner, just ask the people who cast a vote. Just ask the people who voted. Was it a referendum on Bruce Rauner? And they will say yes, while he's saying no. They're the voters. He's been weakened. But folks, he's weakened, but he's steadfast on not getting a budget for this state. For the state of Illinois, we've 10 months behind in a budget, and he still will not get one. He still will not sign a budget, even though come November, and that's 7 or 8 months away, but come November, the legislature in Illinois will be able to override anything that Bruce Rauner tries to do to hurt Illinois. We may have to hang out until November before we get a budget. And that'll be, what, a year? This guy has really taken this state down. Programs have been upended. Funding has been slashed and burned. And a lot of people have been upended. Children, disabilities, elderly, seniors, you name it. It's the most vulnerable that he's after. It's the most vulnerable that this guy is hurting. And he doesn't care. His excuse is the state doesn't have the money. That's his excuse. However, if Michael Madigan, John Cullerton, the Democrats in the legislature, if they accepted his turnaround agenda, Bruce Rauner would have a budget tomorrow. He has said this himself. But the Democratic legislature is not going to accept a budget that includes one of the main things that includes busting unions. That's his pet peeve. Bruce Rauner wants to bust unions. If the legislature, the Democratic legislature in Illinois, let him bust unions, there would be a budget. See how backwards this sounds? And he's steadfast. He's steadfast on not getting a budget. He's steadfast on cutting. This man started cutting, uprooting jobs and uprooting programs his first damn day in office. He was using his executive authority. And he never stopped since. It's been over a year. He's never stopped cutting and slashing and burning programs and hurting the elderly, hurting students, hurting the disabled, hurting children. He never stopped. I'm going to say this again. Pat Quinn, I think this microphone, okay, I hope I'm not, okay, we'll find out what it is later. Pat Quinn was not a great governor. However, if Pat Quinn would have been elected, we would not be in the, this state would not be in the shape that it's in. I've said this several times. I want to say it again. I think Bruce Rauner wants chaos. He wants chaos. He doesn't care if you like him. He doesn't give a damn. I mean, people calling him names, sometimes I got to laugh, but he doesn't care. He doesn't give a damn. He wants to see this state turned on its fucking knees. He doesn't care. If he did care, he would not be denying that he lost the election. The people he put up to run against the Democrats, they lost. Another thing, Bruce Rauner is not liked. He is not liked African-American, Spanish, women, men. They don't like him. They can't stand him. And when you got people of your state, the majority of the people of your state hating your guts. How in the hell are you going to govern? How in the hell are you going to get things done? You're not like, they're not going to, I mean, you're not going to get anything done. You can't govern. You have to have people on your side. You got to work with other people. You just can't go off cockeyed crazy and do things and expect the people that you're hurting to love you. I think Bruce Brown has said it one day himself. I'm not going to be liked. Bruce Rauner, you're right. You are not liked. Man, you are despised. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And it's just awful that we've come to this in the state of Illinois. It's just awful. All right, folks. Folks, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We got about 4 minutes, maybe a little less left into the show, and I want to say something about Ted Cruz and his racist ways. Here are the Muslims' neighborhoods Ted Cruz wants to patrol and secure. He's an idiot. And there's no doubt that Ted Cruz will not be president. But this guy is so scary, and it really is. Ted Cruz may be more scarier than some of these terrorists out here in the street. So he's, from my understanding, he was born in Cuba. He's a Cuban-American. I mean, he's a Canada, and his father is a Cuban. And, you know, I just don't think he's presidential material, and I don't think he was born here. So my thinking is that, you know, no, he should not be president of the United States. But somehow the Republican establishment, they don't want Donald Trump, so they're going to go for somebody who wasn't born in the country. And, you know, we just going to have to stop this. We voted on March 15th, folks. We got to vote in a general election. We got to get it out. We got to get it out for whoever the Democratic nominee may be. It looks from here like it's going to be Hillary Clinton. But whether it's Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, we have to do something. We got to do something. We can't let these Republicans get in. All of this hate on radio, right-wing radio, hate radio, conservative radio, it's out there, folks. It's out there. They're blasting Obama. And Obama, I'm not a fan, but he's not as bad as some presidents are or were. But, you know, so that's just me. You know, that's just me. All right, folks, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Please join me tomorrow. I will be right back tomorrow at the same time, folks. All right. Have a good one.